Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 66 for February 19th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 20 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I put the list together of the top requests, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. And we're going to get through as many of those as we can. So we are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can also listen to the audio-only version, podcast version of all episodes now on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and I have Anka Metcalf here to moderate for this show for the first time. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Hey guys, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Analyze Your Trade. My name is Anka Metcalf, and I'm going to be your moderator today. So thanks so much, David, for having me and actually for having Jim and I on your show, Analyze Your Trade. It's so nice because today you will get to hear our take on your top stock picks. But before we dive into the market and the stocks that you have submitted, it is my pleasure to introduce to you today's guest. It is Jim Kenny from optionsprofessor.com. And Jim, let's hear a little intro and sure. Talk a little bit about yourself and about optionsprofessor.com.
Sure. Well, I've been, I've been in the investment arena here for many decades, and I've done live seminars throughout the country, educating people, thousands of people, on the uses and the risks of the options. So basically, I've been explaining to people how to use them as a hedge to protect your values from market declines or upside. And I've been explaining how to use them as limited risk speculation and also to how to use them for cash flow purposes. So there's a lot of moving parts in options. And since I've been doing it for decades, I'm fairly knowledgeable. So at the seminars, that's what I do. Presently, every Friday, we have a market update, a podcast, and there's a link on the website, which I'll get to at the end of the broadcast, where you simply go to the website, click on for the link, and you can check in on my views and my observations weekly.
That is cool. That is also so awesome. So guys, head over to the options optionsprofessor.com and take advantage of that. I mean, who doesn't like a freebie?
Exactly.
I know. And it's like, it's not like a freebie. You can't take it for granted. It's just valuable information, very valuable information. And you can make money off of it. All right. So a little bit about myself. My name is Anka Metcalf. I'm the CEO and founder of TradeOutLoud.com. We've been running strong for about 12 years now since I founded the company. I'm a professional independent trader. I have been doing it for 16 years. My main focus is day trading futures and swing trading equities. Prior to becoming a professional independent trader, I come from 10 plus years in investment banking. I used to work in Europe. Also, I'm the designer of an institutional proprietary trading system that is based on price support resistance, specific trigger types throughout the trading session. I only trade the New York trading session when I'm day trading. My system is focused on specific price zones where we buy and sell or also take profit, and chart synchronicity and divergency. We also provide trading education classes, power income futures day trading classes for futures traders. And also we have wealth building for futures swing and core trading system. We also provide swing trading and active investing for stocks. These are all big, big classes. It takes the trader from the beginner stage all the way to professional level. And we also have unlimited access to myself and my team. Also, we provide services, currently we have the live trading room where we day trade every day futures, and we swing trade stocks and futures from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern. And we also have the newly launched last year in September, the managed futures program. And basically we get to trade your, we get to trade your funds and your accounts. All right. So that's it for the presentations. Now let's dive into the market. Jim, what do you think if we start with the market first before we dive into the list? Because I think we do have plenty of time.
Okay. You want like an overview on the market?
Yeah, I think that it makes sense. You know, because I think that the market has been on a very in a very explosive mode today. And yeah. I think that if we if we talk a little bit about the S&P or the Qs, the SPYs, NASDAQ, etc., we could have a better feel of what's happening in the symbol of in the symbol list that was submitted by the audience today. What do you think?
Right. Okay. Well, a quick overview on the broad market using the S&P as a guide. When the market went way down in December, one of the people that I have associated with had an idea that he would buy the dip every time until we got back to the 200-day average. That was a very, very, very good idea, because ever since we hit the bottom at December, every time it dipped off of a rally was a great buying opportunity, and it was a real moneymaker. Now we've gone a little bit through the 200-day, and so now it's a little bit of a different ball game from the standpoint of maybe a little bit tougher sledding from here on up. So right now, my view is that you've got the VIX right around the 14-15 area, which is a lower area. If you go down to 10 on the VIX, that means this thing is flying probably to new highs. But if it does not, and it rolls over from here, rolls up from here, then I think that this 2800 area, and I think this VIX around 14-15 may very well be a zone that it can't get through. These China talks are very important in the next week and a half. If they come back with nothing or something like that, that could be the catalyst to roll things over. Valuations on many things are not very cheap anymore because of the snapback. And I think 40% of earnings come from overseas, and Europe and China are not exactly killing it. So if you don't have a deal and 40% of your earnings on some of these S&P companies are still in question, it could be a rough racket getting through the 2800. If we do, 2940 is the next stop, which is the all-time high. But be careful somewhere in this area in case the news turns.
I couldn't agree more. And I was actually looking at the VIX today as we were running into these highs, and I saw price velocity just in the last 30 minutes, actually in the last hour of the day, just coming in a little bit more with vengeance. And I was just looking at the VIX. And as long as VIX are going to hold, I'm going to put a chart real quick here, VIX. I typically trade VXXB. All right. So here's what Jim was talking about. He was looking at the support level that you could see here that we have pretty much have stabilized in price from actually February 5th until now. We actually breached this level just slightly today, and we made a new low here. But if you look at the left-hand side of the chart here, and this is a daily chart, by the way, if you look at the left-hand side of the chart here, even though we're trading below the 200 simple moving average, we're trading into this prior pivot high resistance that is from back in September. So what this means is that this is going to create a shelf of support for current price action. So if we hold the current price action, this is the same. I see the same thing, and we may be going to 2800 and even higher in the SPX, and we're going to pull the chart in just a second. If we hold this area here and if we start moving higher, then we could see a breakdown and a revisit of prior lows. Now, I think that once we start pulling back, because let's face it, we have had 8 continuous up weeks in the market. And I think that once we are going to start pulling back, it's not going to be a dramatic pullback, but it's going to be more like a leg in opportunity. And that's going to be great because things are pretty extended right now. So in most of the stocks, so they have had a really nice, impressive rally. There's still a little bit of room for higher, but a pullback would be providing us a much better risk to reward. And this is what I'm seeing in the VIX. And I'm going to go now to the SPX. And this is also the daily chart. And Jim was also mentioning the coil around the 200 simple moving average for a few days here. For about 3 days, we tapped onto it on the 12th. We ran higher on the 13th. And then we came back here on the 14th. So we have digested this area before we snapped higher with a daily rotation for higher, mini rotation, if you could say that this is a rotation for higher, and we made a new high right here. Overall, we have had a prior high. This is the December 3rd high, and we're running into a lot of resistance into the 2800. And we actually have a triple factor here because we have two prior pivot highs as well. Even though they're a bit slightly higher into the 2817 and 2820 zone. So this is the area, this is the large base, this is the large range that was pretty choppy to trade. Follow through lower again here. So we broke below this support level. Everybody know what happened. So I think the main and the most important issue here is that the price has been following this 10 exponential moving average, and it's really trying to hold it. Now we're getting a little bit of air. We're getting a little bit extended here, just like we did a couple of weeks ago and before we pulled back to the 10 EMA. So here we're going to have a double factor into the 2745. If we get a pullback into this area, I think that the price will have a response and an answer for us, because if we breach this area, 2700 is going to be in sight. But if we hold the 2750, I would favor more a pullback into the 2750, because this would mean that we may have a more sustainable shelf to push forward to 2800 and even to 2820 and then the 2850 zone, which is again a huge target level for price. This is my take on the market. And every time when I start, looking at any stock at all or any ETF, I first look at the market. So, all right. So let's get started. The first stock that is on our list is PE. Jim, what's your take on it?
I'm just going to add one thing on the S&P. There are a couple of gaps down 2745, 2760, and then further down at 2715. And so if the market did roll over on some news that was not so great, those gaps may get filled, and that give you some targets on what short-term support could be as it comes down. Okay, let's take a look here. It's Parsley Energy, and it's not something that I'm tremendously familiar with, but let's look at some of the technicals. Obviously, it's lost a lot of value here, and it is in the energy business, oil extraction, and many of the oil companies actually have gone up pretty good. So the environment has been a rebounding one, yet this one hasn't rebounded very well at all. With regards to the moving averages, you're at 17 on the 50-day, 25 on the 200-day. We did hit as low in December of 14. And so my feeling, I like to use the moving averages to give me a little bit of an idea of overbought, oversold, because I don't think the market goes in one direction forever. And if you get a certain percentage away from the averages, the odds in the bet is to go the other way. So when we hit 14, and let's just say the 200-day average might have been something like 27, you were $13 underneath the 200-day. And on a percentage basis, that's about 50%. That's huge. So when you get anything 20, 30, 40, 50% underneath, you got to start looking at the other side for a bounce. Now, we did have a bounce from 14 up to about 20 here, and now it seems to be a little bit unsteady. So there could be a little bit more to it on the upside, because 25, 26 is the 200-day, which means you're still the better part of $7 underneath it, and that is still 26% underneath it. So it could, again, try to get back towards that average a little bit more, particularly with the energy sector being kind of positive. But here you are catching a falling knife, and obviously there must be some problem with the company because it has not reacted like the other oil shares. So I'd be careful on this. And if it got back towards that 200-day average and couldn't get through it, I'd probably look to lighten up.
Thank you so much, Jim. All right, here's my take on Parsley Energy. And to be honest, I've never traded this name. What I'm looking at right now is the fact that on the monthly chart, we have had pretty much a double bottom into the 14 and change areas. And we have had a very constructive month of December. We're continuing to push a little bit higher here, so we're not actually giving up. What I like about the weekly chart is that for the first time in a long time, we closed the week just peekabooing above the 10 exponential moving average. We're not yet out of the woods yet, but I think this is very constructive, because if we're going to trade above this high right here, above the weekly high over $19, I still think that we have a chance for a higher price target into the 1945 and going into the $20. And this is short term, so I wouldn't consider this a long-term trade. And I would be very careful, because there can be some selling pressure coming in at $20. And that would be the time I would say to probably just lock in some profit, maybe three quarters of the trade, and just leave one lot in for further trailing higher. Because if a digestion is going to come into the $20 zone, then the price may escape higher and may have a nice transition towards about $23. I don't like the daily chart because it is still trading below the 50 simple moving average, but at the same time, I cannot ignore the fact that it's really setting up as a bull flag on the daily, and it's ready to break this $19. So $19, if you want an earlier entry, $19.15, or if you want a confirmation entry over $19.50, but again, you are going to be 50 cents away from your target, one most important target. So trail very tight as you're moving into that target if you should decide to trail this. In terms of volume, I like the volume. I like to trade stocks that have a lot of volume, daily volume of at least 1.5 million shares traded. And this stock is meeting the parameters. So this stock looks to me like it is good for trading. And I even like the weekly. But again, the big decision is going to come over 1950. It's going to be an inverse trade, meaning asymmetric trade. You're going to risk too much and get too little out of it at that $20 zone. And that's my take on Parsley Energy. Let's move down the list. The next stock is PZZA. Jim, what's your take on it?
Let me see. Okay. Again, Papa John, and they've had a lot of turmoil at that company with the leader being on and off and this and that. So they've had some problems as far as that's concerned. Let's take a quick look at what I got here. Hold on a second here. All right. Yeah, we're down 5% almost today. So obviously Papa John's wasn't very popular today, and it's been declining because again, market share is probably being taken away by other vendors. And there is a lot of obviously turmoil in the front office and the franchisees, and Tom, Dick, and Harry are shorting this thing. The short interest is 12.44%. So they're hitting it pretty hard here. The volume's, well over a million. And to me, it's got the only thing I can say is, and I really can't say too much good about it because the 50-day and the 200-day are pretty close, 43 about on the 50 and 48 on the other. So you're right, you're not very oversold. You know, it's just been a steady decline since last year when it was up around 90. And so, again, could it hold these lows here that were created in August of last year, the 38 mark? Well, if I was long the stock, that'd certainly be about as much rope as I'd give it. And, probably even consider a married put if I wanted to hold on to it just in case the bottom falls out. So, basically, I don't like the look of it because it's downtrending and the moving averages are downtrending. And from what I hear, unless they get news that they've cleared up a lot of the problems in the front office, I think that this company is probably losing out on competition.
I agree with you on Papa John's International. I don't like the looks of it. It is very choppy. I like patterns that are easy to recognize. If you look on the monthly charts and on the weekly charts, they're definitely downtrading. We have a succession of lower highs and lower lows. Jim was mentioning the support at $38. It's still very low, so you could still lose a lot of money here from the swing trading standpoint. I would definitely pass on this stock. I would not trade it. I like the volume. However, like Jim mentioned, there are a lot of issues that they need to resolve. So for this matter, I would just leave it alone. Let it trade and, pretty much revisit it in a couple of months or so. I don't think it's going to be ready to trade, at least for my liking, in the next month or so. We're going to move down the line. The next stock that we're going to be looking at is CAC. Jim, what's your take on it?
Okay, on CAC, let me just quickly get the big turnaround here from $35. It really mirrors what's gone on in the stock. And of course, the banking sector, that people have been pounding that drum for a long time. It's been a very lousy investment, but it has been a decent investment since the big crash we had in December. So since December, the financials are one that seemed to be doing quite a bit better after having having a very lousy year in 2018. With regards to this particular company, you know, the 50-day and the 200-day moving averages are still inverted on the downside, and they're at 38 and 42. We're trading 45. The short interest is about 3% of the stock, so there could be some short covering. But I think this is going to live and die by the sword. If the S&P is going to 2940, this thing's probably going to break through 45. If we're going to roll over at 2800, this thing will probably pull back to at least the 40 area, 42 area, more than likely. So again, a little too extended in the short run for my liking, but you can't deny that, you know, there does seem to be legs in the sector. And this company, I think it's probably a regional bank, and there's supposed to be a lot of consolidation in this area. Some guy, the Moynihan guy from Bank of America, was saying we got like 6,000 banks. And of course, by the time all is said and done, we're going to have a lot less than that, was his opinion. So he's looking for consolidation in the regional banks as well. And I think this probably Camden National sounds like a regional as well. So from that standpoint, there could be a play here. But on the short run here, hitting 45 and the market up near 2,800, I'd probably wait to see if we get some kind of pullback.
Thank you, Jim. All right, here's my take. I think the stock is way overextended. It had 8 continuous weeks of a push higher. So it rallied. It is trading right now into the massive monthly resistance, also into the weekly resistance right here. I would like to see definitely a pullback in this and for this stock, possibly into the $40 zone or so, or a break higher into the 47, and then I will look for a retest back into the breakout area. For me right now, this is way too extended, and this is nothing that I would trade, nothing that I would swing trade, because it is really, really low volume, 17,000 shares traded on the day. This is way too thin for me. So I'm going to pass on the CAC trade. All right, let's move on to something more interesting. FSLR, Jim, what's your take on it?
Well, it's obviously a volatile company. In 2017, it ran up all the way to 80. Then it dropped back down in 2018 down to 40, has like a double bottom down there in that 40 area. And now we're trading at 52. You know, being here in Nevada, there is a lot of activity with solar. And I had relatives actually in the business, and it was doing quite well when all the subsidies were going on. And then I think the subsidies things changed. And of course, that made the economics of getting solar very bad, and that turned people very much sour on it. But right now, again, this stock is trading above its 50 and the 200 day, but they're inverted to the downside, so that's not a good sign. Looks like it could have a run towards 60 if it can hold its water here and get going, but I'm not a real fan of this particular industry, having seen it operate here. So as far as my interest in First Solar, you know, it's not that great. If I had to place a trade on it right now, I'd probably be on the buy side, and I'd probably give it to about 40 at the most if I was a long-term holder and didn't mind volatility down to 40. But if I'm a short-term person here, you know, this thing could roll over and retest at any point. And like I say, I'm not a big fan of it because it depends so much on subsidies and other factors to make anything. They're losing $3.28 a share. They have 10% short interest. So when you get a bounce from 40 to 50, now rather than getting the party hats out, it could just be people liquidating their short positions.
I totally agree, Jim. I think that FSLR is getting into a lot of resistance and a lot of congestion. It can still run to $55 into this prior resistance that we've had here into last year. For day trading purposes, I think it's fantastic because it did a really nice breakout. And for those of you that are day trading, I would look for pullback buys, possibly for a continuation into the $54, $55. But for swing trading purposes, I think it's going to hit a massive turbulence into the 50 to 55, not only on the monthly chart, but also onto the weekly chart. So for me, this is going to be a pass, not unless you're watching it from the day trading standpoint. All right.
The volume today was about 50% higher than the 50-day average volume. So obviously, you don't want to step in front of a freight train either. But if this volume is coming mostly from short covering and there's nothing behind it, that's the risk of this kind of a company, which is in a overall downtrending thing for the last year and a half.
Totally. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. All right. So let's switch to our next stock, which is Netflix. What do you think about Netflix?
Okay, well, Netflix is also one that's all over the spot, but it's a main holding of a lot of these funds that are going on. And today, up $5, that's 1.5% up on the day. You know, the P/E ratio is 135. So obviously, when you're buying a company like this, you just got to have to see continued growth in their subscriber base. And again, I guess there's some pricing power because people say they don't look at their statements very closely. And whether they charge you 10, 12, or 15 bucks, I guess doesn't matter to people. So their pricing can be pretty well done. But again, this is a company that has been all over the place, which makes it a difficult one to do any long, you know, hold on for the long run, because you go from 400 down to 250. And a lot of people can't handle that kind of volatility on stuff they consider their safer money. As far as trading is concerned, you know, obviously it did, it got way underneath its moving average. Again, this has been one of the most solid things for me. You know, Amazon hit 2050. The moving averages was 1500. I told people that that's unsustainable as far as I could see. And not only did Amazon go from 2000 down to 1500 where the average was, it went all the way down to 1300, right? So here at one point when we were at 250 or 220, 230, with the lows 230, the 200-day average was 340. Now you're about 50% under your 200-day average. So this bouncing back thing is not surprising to me at all. There seems to be some resistance at 400 bucks. So you know, this doesn't look like an ideal time to jump in. And the volume today of 7 million is far underneath the 12 million it averages for the last 50 trading days. So again, this would not be my cup of tea simply because of the fact that, you know, this bounce could end at any point. And if the volume comes in on the sell side after this kind of a 230 to 360 run, you know, you could find some sellers up here if this thing got any kind of a bad news.
Thank you, Jim. And again, if today was the kind of last hurrah for the market, at least for short term, I definitely Netflix being a market stock, a Nasdaq stock, this can actually push lower very quickly. Overly extended onto the monthly chart and onto the weekly chart. Obviously, I cannot ignore the fact that it is ready for a breakout. And in fact, it's just pinching this breakout zone over 160. Today, again, it made a new high above the 160. So the price stayed above the 160. It's trying to really trade a continuation pattern onto the monthly. But again, it has massive resistance into the 368 all the way into the 380 zone. I think it's a matter. And again, like Jim mentioned, notice the shift in volume. This is a big thing. And it may be getting ready for a pullback. I mean, I was watching Netflix today and I was watching Apple today, and they have been consolidating. They have not been breaking out. Now, NASDAQ has been breaking out, making new highs, etc., where there are some big components in NASDAQ that have not followed. So that look for clues into the market as well. So as far as Netflix goes, I wouldn't initiate any kind of trade continuation. Definitely we need to see if you're looking for higher. And again, this is for swing trading purposes. You're going to have a lot of risk on your hand because you have to place your stop well below $340. I don't know if this is going to be very comfortable for a swing trade for many traders. But again, the target is again asymmetric because it is really into the 375, 378 and into these highs right here. These are October 1st highs, and you're running massively into them. You're going to have those resistance bands that are going to put the price under a lot of pressure, and there's going to be some profit taking. I mean, let's face it, we have been on a roll here for the last for 8 weeks. Okay, 8 weeks and a day. So I think that we should keep a close eye on what the market is doing and trade it in sync with these market stocks. And that's my take on Netflix. Jim, do you have anything to add on Netflix?
No, again, it's a company that one day is doing fine and then falls out of bed on you, and then it mm-hmm. goes the other way. You know, I think, again, their pricing power is going to be the key for these guys because they have a lot of expenses with regards to creating content and all that kind of stuff. And there is competition, obviously, in the business as well. But, you know, this company is one of those, you know, FANG stocks, right? So mm-hmm. you know, if you're a FANG banger, you know, you're going to want it in your exposure. And I think people just got way out of it. And then they said, let's get in and get some exposure. And now that it's in the 360 to 400 range, you know, that's going to be a little bit more difficult range to blow through, I think, unless they've got news that, you know, we're not seeing.
Mm, absolutely. All right, let's move on to the next stock, which is AMAT. Now, Jim, are you bullish, bearish, or are you neutral?
Right now I'd be neutral on it because it's had a very big run. And if I had big gains on it, I'd probably try to hedge it with some type of collar or something because, again, we've had come a long way. The VanEck SMH, which is the ETF on this thing, has gone from 80 up to over 100. And basically, that's almost a 30% jump in the price in just like a month. That's a very big turnaround. And of course, it was not doing well. And this stock as well has had a big turnaround. Now, they're not overly priced. I mean, the PE ratios on this thing is dirt. But again, this was an industry that people were saying was in trouble not that long ago. And the moving averages, because it was downtrending from 60 all the way down to 30, obviously, you know, those averages are still very negative. And all you've done right now is blown through them on the upside. Now, when you blow through these things on the upside, I think it's key to have it consolidate and let these averages turn. And then once they turn, then you can start talking about taking out 45 and then taking out 60. But right now, I think all you can say is you've had a very big snapback rally. The volume today was in line with what the norm is. And again, I would be hesitant to buy it up here because I see a lot of resistance at the 45 mark because that was the lows through most of 2018. And obviously from technical analysis, the lows become resistance on the way back up. So if you caught a bounce from 30 to 39, God bless you. Think about how you want to handle that. And as far as new money running in here, you know, with 45 being not that far away, and if the S&P and stuff turns around, and if the China deal doesn't come out as people hope, which is that a deal will be made, then this could be one of the more vulnerable sectors because it had such an out-of-the-blue rally in the last month.
I couldn't agree more. And I was even looking at this possible weekly reversal under $38.50. I see it to the downside. And in fact, we need to see at the trigger, we could start the trade short with not an astronomical target because I'm an active swing trader. So I look at smaller targets before I get to the larger target and work the trade out. But this is going to have, again, support into the 37.30 zone from this prior pivot high from December 3rd. And you can see here that on December 3rd, it started to pull back and it made a new low continuation into continuing into December 24th. And then we had the full rotation in sync with most of the stocks and most of the market indices. And we continued higher. I see a lot of selling pressure coming here into the $41. And we just need to work this area out. I think that if it trades over $41, it may be ready for a continuation higher. Again, not astronomical targets, but look for $44, but contingent on breaking $41.12 around that area. So wait for confirmation of price because the way it is trading right now, it's very neutral. I wouldn't do anything with it. But again, if it trades below this $38.50, I would short it and try to keep a tight trail on it. And if it breaks over this $41 and change, I would look for a continuation higher into the $44.50 or so. So that's my take on it. It's hard to leg into a trade long when it has had a massive rally. You know, it's just like Netflix and it's just like all the other stocks that we've pretty much talked about. And the market indices, it's really hard to start going long for a swing if you've had these really big runs right now. All right. So the next stock is SQ, Square. All right. What is your take, Jim?
Well, Square has a lot of short interest in there, about 9-10% short interest. So obviously you can get short covering when you get it like that. Again, going back to the indicator of the 200-day moving average and the price, we did drop when we went down to 50 here during that big drop December, January, early. And that was about 25% underneath the 200-day average, which comes in at about 70 right now. So again, when you get that far underneath, you know, it's oversold. And again, when you're oversold, Tom, Dick, and Harry are short the stock because look at the short interest. And when they all want to buy and all the volume's off the table from the sell side, and the only other sellers out there are market makers, and they know you guys all want to come in, they're just going to raise the offer price, which is essentially what they've done. Similar to many stocks, your 50 and 200 day are still inverted to the downside. So I think sideways, you know, makes some sense here if it's going to consolidate here. And then, of course, this is a company that has no profits. So, you know, your valuation is whatever it is when you have no profits. And again, they have a very good financial services or financial angle to it. They found some small or some group that's not being serviced by the big banks, and they're taking advantage of that. And that's really where I think a lot of their growth comes from, is their financial angle. And again, there's probably a big future in there, but when you're worth $31 billion market cap, you know, you better keep coming out with good news, because if you slow down at all, as Amazon found out, you know, they won't pay a high premium for you anymore if they think the bloom's come off the rose. So these guys had better keep coming out with some good news, because when you're losing money in your $31 billion market cap, that's a vulnerable place to be.
That's absolutely right. Well, from the technical standpoint, this is what I see. So today, the stock was up $1.32%. Not massive, but a slow grind to the upside. We basically are just took out mildly Friday's high, and we are pointing a little bit higher. But you can see the price action here in the last couple of weeks or so. So you can look at the candles, bottoming tails, topping tails, bottoming tails, topping tails. The price is all over the place, just grinding all over the place. So it's not going to be a smooth and easy ride. Plus, from the weekly perspective, we have massive resistance into the $78.50 area. This is $78.50 area. So we still are having a lot of selling pressure at this point. So obviously, most of the traders that were long off of this monster rotation that happened into December would like to take some profit into this area. And we could see it here, the slowdown into this momentum onto the daily chart. So for now, if you're not legged in, and if you are legged in, I would definitely be considering taking some profit, taking actually a lot of profit here. Other than that, I wouldn't do anything right now with it. So I wouldn't leg it, I would have shorted, and I wouldn't go long at it at this point.
Yeah, I'm noticing the volume on some of these shares seem to be lighter than their norm. So Thursday sometimes is a turning day. And I think if they can't get this market going by Thursday, and any kind of news comes out that China's not going well, it could be a turning point. So I'd keep an eye on Thursday and keep an eye on how these how the indexes and how some of these shares are trading. Because if they start rolling over, that could be telling us that the correction may start.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. But at this point, I wouldn't do anything in no. Square. Yeah, I wouldn't do anything. We may get a pullback, and this is something that I would look, I usually look at the weeklies for reference. And if a pullback should start, I'm going to be looking at the 73.20 zone, possible pullback into the $70 area. And if the $70 area holds, then perhaps, you know, that would be a revisit of the 200 SMA, also the 50 SMA, and maybe we could get some kind of price action here. But I doubt that if we get this weekly rotation below 73, that we're going to stop at 70. So we may pinch in a little bit more. So at this point, I'm going to hold on Square, not taking any action, at least into this week. All right. The next stock is RHT. And this is, yeah, it's very interesting. It definitely has a very interesting weekly chart. What's your take on it?
It looks like it's going someplace. Obviously, the 52-week high is pretty much right where we are. And it does look like it's trying to accelerate here. Volume today is about a million. Yeah. See, like I say, a lot of these companies are having light volume today. And if I'm at a high price and the volume dries up and for whatever reason, he doesn't want to play his ace card, meaning Trump, you know, obviously the ace card for these markets is going to be a deal with China. And if he decides it's too early to play the ace and he delays it or something, that could be one of the reasons why the volume's drying up here. And it could be one of the catalysts catalyst that would make the market roll over, because obviously everyone's expecting him to play the ace, and if he plays the six, they're going to be a different reaction. And maybe he believes politically it's a little too early to play the China ace card. So that would be one of the risks out there right now with the Netflix, with this company right here, is that they've had a big runs. They're into some kind of a softening of volume. And again, as we go into Thursday, which is sometimes a turn day, it'll be very interesting if they can get through Thursday and Friday and maintain strength here. If they can, God bless them, it looks like more highs. But if it starts rolling over by Thursday or Friday, with this kind of volume I'm looking at, it wouldn't shock me that the correction may start.
Absolutely. Talking, talk about extended prices and extended stocks here. Red Hat is definitely a great example that it has so much air underneath, and it has, you know, the possibility to retrace a lot from the weekly perspective, from the daily perspective, and have, as Jim has noted, the volume is drying out a little bit, so there's not much interest to the long side. This doesn't necessarily mean that the stock cannot continue higher. Obviously, it can, but at a slower pace. And but that also means that collapse is imminent, so it can start to pull back, and that's the fear. Definitely, this is not by any means a leg in opportunity. If you're still long, just trail it. My advice would be to trail it super, super tight. Even go down to a 4 hour if you're, swing trading, or even, you know, trail it on the 1 hour just to micro swing it, micro trail it. But by any chance, I would just put up, if you're in this stock, I would definitely put a trail stop into the 181. I wouldn't let it go below 181, and that would be it. Because if it takes out today's low, most likely it's going to have that daily reversal, and it has a lot of air, at least into this, the first shelf of support is going to be into the 180. And this is a dynamic support here from the 10 exponential moving average. And then the next confluence zone is going to be all the way to 178. And remember, when these stocks that are rallying so hard, when they are rotating, they rotate really, really fast, and they get really fast to those support levels and to those next decision points. So my advice would be just to, you know, kind of like trail tight on this one. No buys, no sells just yet. Just enjoy the ride as long as it goes. All right. Our next stock is Five.
Okay.
Jim, take on Five.
Five Below, obviously a specialty retailer. Walmart came out today, said they had great fourth quarter sales, holiday sales, best in 10 years or something like that. And in the aftermarket, this stock is actually up as far as I can read. So there is some buying coming in after the market. The good news is here is that the moving averages are all indicating that it's in an uptrend. And news coming out of Walmart as a retailer obviously is good news for the retail sector. Those are all the good news. The not so great news is that the 200-day average is at 107, which puts you better than 20% above the 200-day. That's not exciting to me. The volume today was pretty scant compared to what it's normally. Again, typical to what I'm seeing across the board. And then, of course, the PE ratio is 56-1. So I don't know if that's considered cheap in this particular space, but I don't consider it very cheap. So it seems like a fairly high-priced company valuation-wise. It obviously is getting pretty far away from the 200-day. And the news has been pretty good on the retail sales coming out of Walmart today. So again, this thing does look very strong, and it could keep going. Again, the 52-week highs up at 136 happened last September. I don't know if it wants to try to make a run at that. It looks like it's trying to make a run at that. But again, it doesn't seem like an excellent time to get in unless you're playing a momentum and you're just thinking it's going to blow off to the upside. But right now, again, I would say, you know, obviously, it could be a hold, and I would monitor how it does in this 130 to 135 range before I'd get too excited about 150.
I'm actually looking at Five, and I'm seeing a little bit of a pullback that has already started on the 1 hour chart, and it's ready to already downtrending on the 1 hour. The price is below the 20 simple moving average, and it got below the 50 SMA as well on the 1 hour. And I think that if we continue this way, we may get that pullback perhaps into the 120 level. And this is what I'm looking for the stock. Technically speaking, we may get that push into the 136 area that was revisited in September. So we may be able to revisit that 136 zone. And as far as projections, I just drew some projections for five for further price action higher. But definitely, if we get that pullback into the 120, I would look for a rotation off of this point that may push the price higher back into the 140, back into the 149. And you could see that it has a really nice extensions all the way into the 166 level. So I really like the way this may be shaping up. But again, contingent on this stock pulling back at least into the 120 zone. All right. The next stock is MU. I love this stock. Micron.
everybody seems to love this stock. I mean, the PE ratio, they're almost giving you the stock for free. And basically, it's also in the semiconductor space. So it's obviously one of the lead dogs in that recovery that we saw in SMH. And so this is one of the big proponents, not dissimilar to some of the other ones we just looked at, like AMAT. But let's just see what the lay of the land looks like real quick here. Again, there's a big separation between the 50-day and the 200-day. The 50-day is at 35. The 200-day is up at 45.5. I think this 45 number is certainly formidable. Volume today, again, like most of these, were not great. And so, again, there seems to be a little bit of interest waning as first day back from a long holiday, though. Maybe that's the reason. But I would say that 45 is a little bit of a formidable foe here. And so I would be concerned about initiating any longs, when we're up at 42 or 43 or something like that. So I think if you're in there and you want to hold on to see if it breaks through, possibly. But as far as a entry point, I don't see this as a great one.
Absolutely. I agree. It has a lot of turbulence into the $44 area. And I think that it's going to be stuck here for a while, for the last two trading days. The volume has dried out a little bit. And here into the last high that we had was on the 14th, Valentine's Day, with a new high topping tail here. And we're getting a little bit extended also from this 10 exponential moving average. The one thing that I liked in favor for the upside in MU, and this is if you are already legged into the stock, because as of right now, there is no entry. It is a little bit, again, extended. But I like the fact that last week we finally closed above the 50 simple moving average. As long as this week is going to consolidate, it's going to be a digestion week into this area, we may have another push higher all the way to 44.75. And this would be the upside for this stock. But if you're not legged into the stock, if you don't have any shares in the stock, this is not an entry right now. Definitely a pullback zone that I see here, possibly into the 38-39 area at least, for another leg and opportunity, or at least let it digest. Maybe it's going to form a range, maybe a base. Again, it is not an opportunity to get in long or to short at this area. All right. So that's my take in MU. The next stock is Costco. Who doesn't like shopping at Costco?
And Costco, again, is benefiting from the Walmart news, I think, because, again, it was up about 0.75% here today. And it's up a little bit in the aftermarket, nothing to write home about. This 220 mark, obviously, is a ballpark area, were former lows that, that came into play in the fourth quarter of last year. So, obviously, that's a neighborhood where there could be some resistance. There's a gap between around, I'm just ballparking, 220 to 230, ballpark 228. So it's possible that they want to go in and fill that gap as well. So again, it's a company that's benefiting from the news in retail. And it's a company that obviously people have been very, very happy with in 2017 and 2018. And then they became disillusioned with at the end of 2018, as they were disillusioned with every company. And now they're kind of getting back in. But again, the easy sledding might be behind you from 190 to 220. And the sledding through 230 might be a little bit more difficult. just trying to see if there's anything else out there. Some of these retailers are not the cheapest ones in the world. This is trading almost 30-to-1 PE ratio, according to what I see, and it only yields 1%, so you're not getting paid very much to hold on to it. The moving averages are 210 and 217. They're inverted again to the downside. Market's popped out above it. So if it can hold water up here, that's very good, because these averages will turn the longer you're above 210 and 217. So staying above 217 for a period of time is really the best thing you're looking for at a Costco, so you could get that moving average trend going and get a little bit of a tailwind behind the stock, which you really don't have right now just yet.
I agree. 217 is a big line in the sand for it. And today, I think it benefited from Walmart, and it moved in sync with Walmart, got a little bit of buying pressure here, pushing the stock over the 218 level, very close to 220 level. But I still think that 217 is the line in the sand, and we'll see how we trade in the overnight and how we're going to be trading into this week. And again, not a lot of things that are going to be affecting this week. We have the FOMC meeting minute on Thursday, and then we'll see if we get any China news. But anyways, look for that 217 level, because there's a lot of selling pressure that is coming from these lows from October all the way into December. So these lows right here, once they broke down, now this area becomes resistance. So even though it peekabooed above this 119 level, into the 219, close to the 220 level, doesn't necessarily mean that is going to sustain the area and push higher into this gap fill into the 225. If you're day trading it again, you can look for pullback buys into this stock. I definitely look at 1 hour reversals and 4 hour reversals with continuation for day trades. But definitely this is something that I would look for day trading purposes as of right now, and not necessarily as a swing trade. For me, as a swing trade, it definitely needs to either consolidate at this 200 simple moving average here at least for 4 to 5 days, or to go and to continue for a gap fill, or at least a pullback into the 214 or 214 or the 212 area before we start moving back up again. So as of right now, it's going to be a pass for me. All right, this is Costco. The next stock is STNE. STNE.
All right. And I was just looking at something else here. On STNE, let's check it out. Yeah, this company hasn't been around all that long. I was trying to do some homework on it. And so it's trading over 1 million shares a day. So if your criterion is that, it fits that criterion. Right now, it opened up when it came out at 30. And I guess everybody who could sell it on the opening did so, because it went from 30 down to about 15 in a very short period of time at the end of last year. Of course, they came out, it looks like, right before the market started to collapse. And of course, anybody who has a big gain in anything while they're losing on everything else probably tried to grab it. At any rate, the moving averages all come in at around 20 and change on the 50-day, 22 and change on the 200-day. So it's trading above both averages, which is a positive thing. Volume today was much greater than it has been in the 50-day average. 50 average, a little under 1 million. Today, we're at about almost 1.5 million. So money's coming in. And I would say that it looks like it's trying to give you a little bit of a 1-2-3 formation here. So the move down to, what was the low, 16, came back up to a little bit under 25, pulled back here towards about 20. And now if it can take out that middle area around 23 or whatever it's been, the yearly high, if it takes out the yearly high, I think that'd be very constructive for this company. I'm not familiar with the computer service company, but if I had to trade it, I would wait for it to take out that reaction high that we just had. And then I'd probably follow it and put my stop under what this reaction low has been. So if the reaction low now is around 20 and it takes out 24, I might ride with it at 24, put the stop underneath 20 and see if this thing is going to get back on the bicycle.
Absolutely. This is what I see. I see a possible breakout over $24. The stop should be under $20 under this prior pivot low right here. It's actually tradable off the weekly chart. I have never traded this stock, but definitely, interesting pattern, to say the least. I think that the risk is a little bit asymmetric because you're looking at a target into 2650. So to me, the risk is a little bit asymmetric here. I would look for a better opportunity on the daily chart. There are plenty of other stocks that you can trade in the meantime. If STNE wants to explode above $24, let it move higher and then let it pull back to the breakout area into the $24 area. You could get a much better risk to reward all the way into the target level of 26 or even more. It can run a little bit higher, but I see a lot of turbulence here. From this 50 SMA on the weekly, it may still run higher. But it's a very, very new stock. All right, let's move on to the next stock, which is NAVI. What's your take on it, Dim?
Basically, it's a company involved with consumer finance. And let's hope it's not student loans, because that wouldn't be the good one to be in, I guess, or auto loans. But they do consumer financing. And again, it's been a deteriorating situation since the middle of last year when you're up around 16, 17. And then it's been deteriorating as low as around 8. And again, now it's bouncing back. Again, classic case of the 200 days at 1250 and you're trading at 8, you're 50% underneath the 200 day, you're going to snap back, which is what it's done. So right now, it has snapped back to, it's actually exceeded the 200 day. But again, it's still inverted to the downside, which to me makes it a little bit of a risky deal. But the volume today exploded to the upside. So there could be news on the stock. And if there's news on the stock and I wanted to jump in, I probably wouldn't give it too much rope. 50-day average is at 1040. That's probably about as much rope as I'd give it if I was going to play the momentum. And then basically see if the 6 million shares or so they traded today were a bunch of geniuses or a bunch of morons. We'll soon find out, because that's a lot of volume coming into a stock. And it was up a dollar today. So it had a nice run today on great volume. If there's news coming on the stock, maybe it can get going. They are making money. They're not, you know, there's not a company with no earnings. And the P ratio of 8.5 to 1 is a pretty cheap valuation. So the yield is 5%, so it might be grabbing people who think they want to grab a yield. So it has a lot of good features, meaning the valuation seems reasonable, and the yield is certainly attractive, and the volume today was very, very strong. So those are all three very good things. What's not so very good is that it deteriorated for a long time, and technically on the moving averages, it's got a very not very good looking thing. But when news hits, and if the news sticks, you know, things that don't look good can look very good, particularly in a space like a smaller cap deal like this. It's only a $2.9 billion company. So if news changes, you know, they could get this thing going in a different direction pretty quick.
I agree. It seems today that it had a little bit more volume. It closed above the 200 simple moving average. Now, I do have a friend. He runs a hedge fund, and he loves to see all these stocks that are trading above the 50 SMA on the weekly. He just buys them off the weekly SMA on the weekly and just runs with them. It may still continue higher. First of all, we have the next resistance area, which is the $14.15. We also have a declining moving average because the stock has been beat up over time. And the moving average has been coming in, and $13.70 is the area where 1350 to 1370 is the area of resistance, first area of resistance as well. And it is very interesting to see if tomorrow is going to get any continuation. If it gets any continuation into tomorrow, then you could definitely consider the gap up support for your risk level. So you could actually look for a long over today's high over 1295, and you could have a protected stop if you want to trade it aggressively under 1225 or so. And like I said, for a target level, just look for a first target into the 1350 to 1360, and the next target into the 1450. Very impressive move today. And I've seen a lot of stocks, kind of like making really nice moves into the day. We have two more stocks to run through. TJ Maxx. Jim, are you a Maximista?
Yeah. Do you want to hit these pretty fast and then wrap up?
Yeah, sure.
All right. I'm just going to give you something brief on TJ Maxx. Without looking at it yet, I'd imagine that it did well because of what happened with Walmart. And there you go. It was up today. In the aftermarket, I don't see it trading much. And let's take a look. It probably snapped back with most of the other retailers. Some of these things are pretty much formulatic at this point. You went from 55 down to 40, and then you you snap back to 50, I'll guess the moving average is around 50, and the 200-day average is 49 and change. So pretty much like everything else. We had a big snapback rally. Are we going to break through 2,800 and make way new highs? Then these things will probably continue. Are we going to roll over from up here? Then these things are probably going to pull back.
I think this is a great uptrend in TJ Maxx, and we are just rotated off the monthly chart, making a complete monthly rotation off the 20 SMA, and we're continuing higher. $50.50 is where we are trading right now. I think it still has a lot of void into the $55. So to me, this is definitely worth a long. One more, Gilt.
Okay, Gilead Sciences, obviously in the healthcare area, and the healthcare has been doing fabulous. So I'd imagine this thing is popping a little bit, but not that much. Today it was down, and it doesn't look very good to me from the standpoint of that 70 area looks like a wall of voodoo. And so you'd have to clear 70 for me to get interested in it. And right now you're looking at a good yield at 377, but you got that $71 200-day average. And until you get above that 200-day, I'd probably stay aside.
I don't like Gilt. I don't like to trade biotech and pharmaceuticals. For me, Gilt is a pass. I think it's a lot of chop. Support is at $60. It is still getting a lot of selling pressure from $70, from a lot of moving averages on the weekly chart and the monthly chart. Whew, what a day. Yeah. It was a marathon.
We're going to need some water now.
I know. Our time is up for today. So thanks so much, Jim. And thank you. Thank you, David, for having us today. Jim, do you have any special comments?
I just wanted everyone to know that they can go to Option, OPTION, Professor, PROFESSOR.com. Get the link to the Friday market update, which I give my opinion and my views every Friday. So do that or shoot me an email at optionprofessor@gmail.com. And good luck on all your trading, everybody. We'll see you on Friday.
Thank you so much, Jim. And I'm hosting an open house next Tuesday. So if you hop on to our website, there's a little window that is going to pop up. Just fill in your information and you're going to be automatically registered for our emailing. And you're going to receive email with updates with all our upcoming events. And obviously with the open house, you're going to see us trade live. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight. And thank you, David, for having us. Have a wonderful trading week, guys.
Thank you, Anka.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks. Thanks, Anka and Jim. Just a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to this or any of the past show archives. The Monday show was off yesterday because of the market holiday, but we'll be back next week. That'll be Monday the 25th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Mark Sachs from Right Line Trading will be back. Gary Dean and Jim Kenny will be back for that one. And then also the next episode of this show, Analyze Your Trade, will be on the 26th Tuesday. That will be at a half an hour earlier than normal at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So Jeremy Newsom and John Thomas will be on for that one. So thanks, everyone. And thank you, Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. And thank you, Anka Metcalf of Trade Out Loud for moderating for the first time.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone.